The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Wednesday already. Crazy. Every day seems to have another major, sometimes a major minor, but a major event. Now, and we talked about this, we knew that the liberal left was going to dig into the bottom of the barrel and then dig through the bottom of the barrel into the earth as far as they could go to find anything they could twist and corrupt into something to throw at Donald Trump. And the latest, I can't even read it. It has something to do with Miss Universe. What are these people doing? And I don't think Americans are buying it anymore. No one talked about, and this is a major error on Trump's part, but we'll see how he plays it. Maybe he's got some strategy. I don't know. Miss Universe. Trump says he fought to help her keep her job and all this, and she's saying he threatened her or something. This is soap opera stuff. Turn the coin over. We have reality. We have Benghazi. We have a 500,000 people that Hillary and Bill presided over the execution and murder of during the Clinton 8 years. We have Benghazi. We have the Clinton death list. $3 billion allegedly has gone through the Clinton Foundation. The crimes this woman is guilty of are too numerous to name. I can't keep them all in my mind. Look at the front page now at Rents. Is this woman ethical? She's got another earpiece. Another one. They told her what to do, what to say, everything. And I believe that she did suffer a small seizure at one point when Donald Trump made a very blistering remark. She didn't know what to do. What does she do when she doesn't know what to do? She laughs inappropriately. Well, she opened her mouth and exposed most of her teeth and made a noise that approximated a ha. And then she looked, if you watch the video, utterly disconnected and confused. And I'm contending that through that earpiece, they told her, keep talking, keep talking. She slowly got herself back together and then didn't respond to him, but launched into another pre-recorded message. An earpiece. And I hope to God that in the next debate, at the very least, Donald will walk out there and ask Mrs. Clinton, are you wearing an earpiece tonight? She won't know what to say. And then he should ask the Election Commission, which will be there, some of the committee members, to please look in Mrs. Clinton's ears. This is unethical. It's cheating. And if they refuse to do that, then Donald should reach into his pocket and say, well, excuse me then while I put my own earpiece in. And I'll be up front with you. I will be using it. I won't be trying to hide it like Mrs. Clinton is hiding. He should not call her Secretary Clinton. He should call her Mrs. Clinton or Hillary. He was far too deferential. We have another story here. Huma, the great Huma, has been caught lying. What a shock. She lives, eats, and sleeps and breathes with the greatest liar in political history, American, and she got caught lying. Well, what are they going to do about it? Is the FBI going to go after her? No follow-up at all after Huma caught in her lie. None at all. FBI agent Comey, one of the biggest sellouts in certainly in American law enforcement history, was the subject of several items today. We're going to talk about that. But let's go right to our special guest tonight, our friend and colleague of too many years to count. We don't count after 39, D.B. Kidd.
Hi.
See, I got one word out of her. I'm getting to be real good at this. Maybe in a couple of years we'll get a 3 or 4 word sentence.
Well, I'm not going to say anything unless I get blanket immunity.
I wouldn't if I were you either. You're guilty as hell. They give that stuff out like candy to people now.
Oh, my God. I have to tell you this. This whole thing with this woman, because I'm trying to be polite.
Yeah.
Can it get any more obscene?
I don't know.
Earlier tonight, and I do this for the audience, really, because some of this, I just honestly can't stomach this stuff. Megyn Kelly had on a Trump surrogate, as they call them. He's on her show and Hannity fairly frequently. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I think he's a lawyer. But he brought up tonight, you know, they were talking about why Trump didn't go for the jugular. Mm-hmm. You know, regarding Monica Lewinsky. And, of course, Trump has said that he didn't want to, you know, hurt Chelsea Clinton's feelings. And
I don't buy it.
Miss Chelsea came out today and said that, oh, that's baloney. He just, you know, is trying to distract everybody, you know. I'm sure she fully understands what her mother's all about. But
oh, and then some. Yeah, sure.
They were talking about this. And so this guy, he says, look, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have all of this in his background. You know, he says he went into the bimbo eruption thing and Kathleen Wiley and Paula Jones.
Willie.
I should remember that for Mr. Sorry. Willie.
I had her on the program. She's a nice woman.
Yeah. So the other guest on the other side, they had the screen split in triple. The other guest, they didn't put her name underneath, so I don't know who she is, but Megyn Kelly referred to her as Madam Speaker. So having never seen her face, being polite, I don't know who she is, but I'm guessing she is maybe a speaker in a state legislature.
Uh-huh.
Obviously a Hillary admirer and supporter, because she fires back with, well, Donald Trump had endless affairs. Wait. First of all, Donald Trump did have an affair. When he was married to his first wife, he had an affair with, what's her name?
Marla Maples.
Marla Maples, and he ended up marrying her. So what he did was he committed a sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. However, he is not in public office. He did not lie about it. He has come clean with it. I think at this point in his life, he's probably, even for him, embarrassed about, you know, some of the things that he's done.
Right.
As is everybody.
Well, everybody feels they've made
mistakes. Only God is perfect.
That's right.
But she comes out, you know, this baggage, and she tries to say that the first thing that Megyn Kelly, when she said, well, you know, how do you respond? And she yawned. She goes, and then she said, yawn. This is such old stuff. And the American people, Megyn Kelly, I'll give her credit. She didn't let her get away with it. She said, just wait a second here. She said, Hillary Clinton is the champion of women, blah, 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 blah. And this Democrat, this female, it didn't make any difference to her. Not a single bit that Hillary Clinton, because the other guest, the gentleman, and Megyn Kelly brought up the fact that it's well known that Hillary Clinton had what she called a war room. that she went at, her goal was to destroy these women that were sexually harassed, that were groped, and including Juanita Broderick's very, very credible claim of being raped not once, but twice by that slut she's married to. This was her job, was to destroy the bimbo eruption.
Right.
And this Democrat, honest, this is one of the things that makes me sick to my stomach. She just did everything she could to say that nobody cares about that. Half of it's not true. You know, Secretary Clinton this. And I just thought to myself, if I was standing in front of you, lady, I swear to God, I'd pop you right in the nose. Because it's just so phony.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right that one of the comments you made at the beginning, I think the American people are beginning to see through this, this kind of subterfuge, this obfuscation to, you know, change the subject and wander off into other directions, that they're sick and tired of this kind of stuff.
It's all lies and misdirection. You're totally right.
Oh,
yeah, they're sick of it.
It's like Hillary Clinton is the head witch of the coven. And she's got
Laugh. Now, wait a minute. Don't laugh about that. You've been reading? You know,
yes.
Before she was sex state, she was flying out to L.A. once a month. We've got that pretty well established. And it is suggested that she came out for occult reasons, occult meaning secret, with an overtone of potential ritual secrets. I'm not going to go further than that, but there are people out there who will, and in fact, there was a big story the other day I ran that claimed that Hillary Clinton had been involved in a satanic cult, just like Angelina Jolie and so many others in Hollywood, the Hollywood crowd, the left, lib, Hollywood, socialist, communist, occult, satanic crowd. And that describes most of it now.
Well, one of the things that Megyn Kelly, you know, forcefully tried to get across to this female was that, you know, Hillary Clinton has built her reputation on being a champion of women, blah, blah, blah. And yet, when you have these allegations and, you know, Hillary Clinton herself coming out and saying that victims of rape should be believed, which she had up on her website,
yep.
But then, you know, oh, she deleted it off her website. Of course Juanita Broderick shouldn't be believed, or Kathleen Willey, or any of the other bimbos. They shouldn't be believed.
Well, why is she paying them off then with Clinton Foundation money, D.V.?
Yes. And why did they lose their law licenses for lying under oath? He did, during the Paula Jones.
That's right.
This guy is worse than an alley cat.
Well, fortunately, he's dying. That's the only good news I can offer.
Well, I think that, you know,
looks like he's got AIDS to me.
Yeah, yes, he's very frail. But except for these hardcore feminists who support Hillary Clinton, even if she stood, you know, in Times Square.
Because of her plumbing, they'll support her until they die. Doesn't matter.
That's exactly right. You will never, ever reach these people. But some of these, you know, blue-collar Democrats out there that have supported her, and one of the big ones, I forget the guy's name, who's always been a Democrat, came out the other day and said that, you know, he is supporting Donald Trump. I think that they have seen behind the curtain, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz.
Jeez, if they haven't seen it by now, though, D.V., you know, they're never going to see it. We've got eight years of these creeps, and how many years as Secretary of State? How many lies, how many corruptions, how many charges and allegations against her?
And it's
dozens.
It's not just that. It's also her, quote, performance and achievements. Because
what has she done?
One of the comments that Trump made during the debate, which you'd have to just want to go take a shower afterwards watching it. But when he said, you've been at this for 30 years.
Yeah.
And what have you accomplished? You do nothing but talk. And I think that didn't just resonate the other night, but I think a lot of Democrats, including African Americans, are coming to the conclusion that she is all talk. You know, I listen to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity if I'm out running errands because I like to hear what people say. But,
yeah.
You know, he had a good spiel on it the other day.
Rush or Sean?
Limbaugh. that, you know, if you look to see what she has accomplished when she was senator and when she was secretary, nothing. She's the most traveled secretary of state in the history of this country. And look at what her and her boss, this criminal imposter in the White House, look what they did to the Middle East. And now it's in the homeland. And I think that, you know,
they caused it. They were the figureheads. They were certainly following directions. We know she bows and grovels to the Rothschilds. We've got that in email now. Mm-hmm. What do I do as penance, she said to Lady Rothschild, for not doing something that Lady Rothschild wanted. Yeah, it's all true. What have you done in 30 years, Hillary? Can you run on your record? Please do. You've destroyed the Middle East. You've killed millions of people, directly and indirectly. You've destroyed economies, destroyed lives, created God knows how many hundreds of thousands of potential terrorists and millions of refugees. And now you're working with people like George Soros, who are pumping in, what, $500 million to underwrite the refugee invasion of Europe. They can't wait to do the same thing here. This has nothing to do with a woman running for president and everything to do with the type of human being she is and her professional expertise and her alleged achievements, which are bullshit.
That's exactly right. And also during that segment came up just for a second, but it came up on the radio today, about this former Miss Universe, this Alicia Machado, who gained weight. Now, they, you know, tried to tear, Hillary Clinton really tried to pound on this during the debate. But, you know, if I was Trump, I would have been ready for that one, because he must have known it was coming.
He was not ready for a lot of things. I don't know what the hell was going on there, but we'll see.
But the bottom line is that this woman, this former Miss Universe, when she signed up to be in the pageant,
yeah,
what are they based the judging on?
Right.
They wear evening gowns, they have talent, and not plus sizes. It's not a plus size.
No, it's all about cutout, TNA, photogenics, glamour. That's it.
But after she became Miss Universe, she gained 35 pounds. And if you look at the pictures of her when she won and look at the pictures of her afterwards, she doesn't even look like the same person. I mean, she is very chubby,
yeah.
You know. And you know, she was on Anderson Cooper's show last night, and he asked her about it, and I'll read what he said. He said, there are reports that Trump surrogates have been referencing and pointing to an incident in 1998 in Venezuela where you were accused of driving a getaway car from a murder scene. You were never charged with this. The judge in the case said that you threatened to kill him after he indicted your boyfriend for the attempted murder. And, you know, what would you like to respond? And she says, he, I guess referring to the judge, can say whatever he wants to say. I don't care.
Oh,
well, that's really nice, lady, but this goes back, you know, to 1998. This is part of the record, because I did a bunch of searches on the internet. And yes, this judge was in fear of his life after she, because of her associations with the wrong kind of people. So she's not Miss Goody Two Shoes.
Now, Venezuela is a tough country, and you don't play games. People die there all the time.
If he, you know, used a, I forget what he said, something, you know, fat or something like that. He could have been more diplomatic about it.
Who, Donald?
But he had, yes.
When did he make this statement, allegedly?
No, he did make the statement. He hasn't denied that.
When did he make it?
Oh, this was back in when she won the pageant, and this is quite
so
years
and years ago. Okay.
Yes, years and years ago. But, you know, now he called her Miss Piggy is what he called her.
In other words, you're not allowed to state facts. If a woman gains 30 pounds, 40 pounds, and looks porcine, that's the correct word, you're not allowed to say that, right? It's sexist. Oh, please.
Well, this is an accurate quote from him. He said she weighed 118 pounds, and then she ballooned to 170.
Oh, my.
This is somebody who likes to eat. So it wasn't... You can.
Is this worth bringing up, Devi, in a presidential
context? Well, but they deliberately brought this woman to the debate. They deliberately made it a big issue, and he's had to defend himself against it. And, you know,
well, I hope he does it and then just stops.
But once again, there's an image that a Miss Universe has to project, and she did not. And, you know,
170 pounds doesn't fit that image. Listen, what we're talking about here, a woman who went out, gained a lot of weight, didn't hold up the torch for Miss Universe like she could have, certainly. She had a career. That's a life achievement. You're given a career. What about Jennifer Flowers? What about Paula Jones? What about Kathleen Willey? These are people who have real grievances, not that someone looked at them and said, well, you've gained a lot of weight. These people were victims of first-class felony rape and sexual attack.
Yes, but the whole bottom line is that this blows Hillary's narrative and her reputation as being a fighter for women. It is a bunch of baloney. She doesn't care about anybody but herself.
Nothing could be more true. She covered all up Bill's criminal acts up to protect her future in the game. That's
exactly all she cares about. And this whole thing with Comey today, during the hearings today, three-hour hearings, he looked like, truly, he looked like he had just gotten up out of the coffin.
I mean,
if he looked, oh, my God, if he looked bad, you know, when he gave his testimony in July, that was nothing compared to today. I mean, his bags were packed for, you know, the other side of the earth, and he was pale as a ghost. And what he said today was so sickening.
Oh, I see a picture of him. You're right. Wow.
Yeah. He said that, what did he say here? It had to do with intent. That old crap again about intent with going after her for her. Oh, here it was. He said, although the FBI director acknowledged he found evidence that Democratic presidential Hillary might have violated laws pertaining to the handling of classified information, he determined earlier this year there was insufficient proof of intent to prosecute her. He rewrote the damn statute. There is nothing in there about intent. But what really got pathetic, because I'm telling you, these Republicans beat him up badly today. I mean, he got everything he deserved. But at one point, I actually thought he might start crying.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Go ahead. We're going to go through the break, Todd. I got to hear this because I missed it. This is really interesting. I think that the guy, first of all, when he took the fall for Hillary, In the testimony and not indicting, not moving for indictment, he destroyed his career. He shamed and disgraced the FBI forever. This will go down in the annals of American political history. You don't do this. This is outrageous. So what kind of pressure was put on this man and who did it? Those are the real questions.
Yeah.
Who pressured him? I think he was told, you don't do this, you know, you whatever, you could die. Yeah, he looks like a pile of crap. I'm looking at this.
Yes. Well, he said, quote, you can call us wrong. You can call me a fool. You cannot call us weasels, okay? That is just not fair. We hopefully have not gotten to a place in public life where everything has to be torn down on integrity basis just to disagree. You can disagree with this. There is just not a fair basis for saying that we did it, parentheses, handled Clinton's email scandal, close parentheses, in a way that wasn't honest and independent.
Oh, come on. Good
God.
Oh,
make me gag,
Jane.
Yeah,
how can you even say this?
Yes, and then literally, he looked like he was going to cry, and he said that, I forget who it was, Sensenbrenner. Representative Sensenbrenner, he's been around, 25 years in Congress?
Yeah.
He said that this is not the FBI anymore that the American people have come to know. And Comey looked at him. I thought he was going to cry. He said, well, this is the FBI that you know and love. That's what he said.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that
wait
you
a minute.
Know and love.
Hold on. I'm going to play some of this.
And former State Department Chief of Staff and Heather Samuelson, counsel to Secretary Clinton in the State Department were granted immunity for production of their laptops. Why were they not targets of the FBI's criminal investigation?
A target is someone on whom you have sufficient evidence to indict. A subject is someone whose conduct at some point during the investigation falls within the scope of the investigation. So certainly with respect to Ms. Mills, at least initially, because she was an email correspondent, she was a subject of the investigation.
Did the FBI find classified information on either of their computers?
I think there were some emails still on the computer that were recovered that were classified, is my recollection.
Isn't that a crime?
Is what a crime, sir?
Having classified information on computers that are outside of the server system of the Department of State, unsecured.
No, it's certainly something, without knowing more, you couldn't conclude whether it was a crime. You'd have to know what were the circumstances, what was the intention around
he's
that.
Dancing.
It's certainly something, it's the reason we conducted a year-long investigation to understand where emails had gone on an unclassified system that contained
He's got bags under his eyes.
That's because he's tap dancing all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was asked about,
what did you determine with...
That there were comments made about handing out these immunity deals like candy.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
One of the things that I believe it was Sensenbrenner, it could have been Goodlatte, brought up was the fact that Cheryl Mills, she was given more than just a regular immunity. But she was given immunity from obstruction of justice, mishandling classified email. And the bitch lied. She said to the FBI that she did not know about the server and the emails until 2013. However, one of the documents that the FBI released, this last dump of them, Ms. Mills said that she, in a comment she made in one of the emails, she said, is the server ready to go up? That was in 2011.
They lied. They just lie. There's no accountability. Well, they've got the great teacher, Hillary, to teach them how. They've watched her.
I'll tell you what they're teaching this country is that it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah,
and
so.
It's not what you do, it's who you know. And that there is a two-tier system of justice in this country. And if you're part of these political dynasties, as these pundits like to say, then you can skate. Go ahead and break the law. Look, who in the hell stole all of the original documents from Hillary Clinton's interview regarding the death of Vince Foster from our beloved Library of Congress?
Good
Somebody
question.
Stole them,
yep.
And they don't know who it is yet.
No.
But,
you
know, maybe he'll get off like, what's his name, who's now passed away, for, Sandy Berger, who stole original documents and destroyed them. Mm-hmm. Those documents belong to the American people.
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever been to the Library of Congress.
No.
It is the most fabulous, wonderful place. I just love that place. And those are documents for which there are no copies. They are the original history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sandy Berger stuffed these documents down his socks, what, he got off with a fine, a $50,000 fine. Well, you can imagine that he got some consulting fees that easily covered it. But now we have all of Hillary Clinton's, the original interview with her over Vince Foster's murder are gone. Stolen, gone. One would think after Sandy Berger that they would implement some other type of security in that building.
No,
apparently not. No, don't want it. No, can't do that. Might be profiling somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, here, let me listen a little bit more here to Comey. We'll see if
Jimmy
they get
Boy.
That. Jimmy Boy. Boy, that his face is just ravaged compared to what it was.
Well,
here we go.
Who has already been interviewed by the FBI, has been allowed to accompany and serve as legal counsel to the target of that investigation?
I can't from personal experience. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened. The FBI has no ability to decide who comes to an interview in a voluntary interview context. If it was judicial proceeding, a judge could police who could be there. And obviously lawyers are governed by canons of ethics to decide what matters they can be involved in. But it doesn't fall to us to say you can be in, you can't be in.
But wouldn't you agree that it is a conflict of interest for them to serve as attorneys for Secretary Clinton in this matter, having been interviewed by the FBI as witnesses?
That's a question a lawyer has to answer for him or herself.
You're a lawyer, Director Comey. What's your opinion of that?
Oh, I don't want to offer an opinion on that, but that's something a lawyer has to decide for themselves. I assume with counsel and consulting our canons of ethics, what matters you can be involved in and what you can't. But again, the Bureau's role in conducting a voluntary interview is to interview the subject. Who they bring is up to them.
How can you trust the veracity of Secretary Clinton's answers?
Here's the end.
Knowing that witnesses previously interviewed by the FBI were allowed to participate in the interview.
We assess the answers based on what's said and all the other evidence we've gathered.
In consultation with her, quote, attorneys who are also witnesses to what was previously done earlier and may, in fact, have themselves violated the law for which they requested and were granted immunity.
Yeah, the answer is the same. We make the assessment based on what the witness said.
I don't want to hear any more. This guy's absolutely pathetic. He's a disgrace.
This is so outrageous.
Yeah.
If Cheryl Mills is given a wider immunity than these other tech guys, and then she accompanies Hillary Clinton, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I don't care if it's her lawyer or not. Whoever that was, I think it was Goodlatte, Representative, who said, it is a conflict of interest, for God's sakes. She's been given immunity, and now she's going to act as lawyer to this witch?
Couldn't be more corrupt.
And the way he tap dances around, well, the canon of ethics and blah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Comey. Well, haven't you destroyed your reputation enough?
Yeah, the guy said, you are an attorney, Mr. Comey.
I'll tell you what, if I served in Congress and I got reelected in January, I'm telling you right now, one of the first things that Donald Trump needs to do,
Comey has
got to go.
Yeah.
And get the way that they do it, you know, whisper in somebody's ear and he's going to go off and do wonders and poop cucumbers in the private sector and Loretta Lynch. But Comey, it's like a banana republic.
Same thing.
Watching,
no difference.
Watching this today, we might as well have been in Venezuela, Chile, you know,
Guatemala.
Yeah. We might as well have been there for watching this absolutely disgusting, obscene exchange between him and members of Congress.
He is ashamed. Not that the FBI had all that much to be proud of with J. Edgar Hoover for all those years.
Well, the low information voters out there and stuff, they, you know, still think the FBI is great, but I didn't bring it up and I know I flagged it someplace, but there was an article, a video about these FBI, a lot of the FBI, they're enraged. They are just
150 agents involved in the Clinton investigation, the email investigation, 50 of them brought out of retirement. They spent over a year, well over a year. Can you imagine what those people are feeling?
And they had to sign non-disclosure agreements.
They can't talk.
Which they cannot talk about it. But through leaks, you know. But
They got to be careful. The Clinton death list, it's got a long hand. So
it's just, like I said, it's obscene what's going on with James Comey. It's truly unbelievable. And, you know, most Americans, at least the ones who are fortunate enough to have a job, they're working during the day, and they don't have a chance to watch C-SPAN or even Fox when they cover some of these things. And they only get little sound bites here and there, but you have to watch this kind of thing. I tell you, George Washington, Patrick Henry, they must be spinning in their graves.
Well,
see this kind of what's going on.
I'm sure they are.
All to protect this woman who is a career pathological liar. Hillary Clinton has never met truth in her life.
This is all to protect Hillary. You just said it. This whole charade, this whole nightmare, this whole outrage is to protect Hillary Clinton. It's amazing.
And all of the media, they have forfeited any credibility that any of them have out there. You know, the quote, mainstream media has become firmly a subset of the Democratic Communist Party.
Sure, it's the fourth branch
USA.
Of government. I've told our listeners.
Completely and totally.
If they learn nothing else, they hopefully will have learned never again can they trust the mainstream media, ever.
And this whole protecting Hillary, this whole image of her and how she fights for women and knowing everything that's gone on. It is
total
crap.
Like
I said, it's obscene to watch.
Yeah. It's all a lie, of course, but that's what she is. She is a lie. Now, Huma Abedin, her top aide and lover, Mrs. Weiner, allegedly claims she didn't know anything about Hillary's private server until about a year and a half ago when it became public knowledge. In other words, she didn't find out about Hillary's server, Dee Dee, until we did.
That's a lie. There's a piece on Breitbart today from the release of those FBI documents reveal the top Clinton aide Huma Abedin picked one username that Clinton would use on the server despite claiming she had no knowledge of the server. She lied to the FBI.
She lied.
And is she going to get away with it? She's going to get away with it because she is totally protected. She's a Muslim, and the agenda, as we all know.
Yeah, she's tied into, don't forget, the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
She was the editor of a magazine for them, and her mother is, I guess, apparently very actively involved with them. There's no question.
And her father believes that Sharia law should rule the United States.
That's right. There's no question that we are being, right now, targeted for absolute destruction by this alleged Muslim refugee problem. They are not refugees. It's a dirty, rotten lie. George Soros is behind most of it. He's the public face of it. Look what they've done to Sweden. Look what they've done to Norway. The demographics there have changed. They'll never be the same. In Sweden, cops are quitting, they say, in droves. There are 55 areas in Swedish cities now where the cops don't even go.
Well, in Switzerland, a large number of the police are threatening to quit their jobs also because they say that they're taking over their country. They
That's
see
right.
it with their own eyes.
That's
and
right.
And they are very, very afraid of what's going on.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, some of them interviewed said, just take a look at London.
Look at the streets of France. You've seen the video. The video. And these, remember also that many of these people coming up, and if you look at the videos of the Mediterranean, these big rafts, these big square rafts that are packed with humanity. They're all
so
men.
Many of them
they're all 20 to 30 years of age, 15 to 30 years of age. They're all fighting age men. They have Somali, Sudanese. The average IQ is somewhere between 65 and 68. That's it. That's all they're ever going to have. And they're taking these people and injecting them into the bosom, the soul of Europe. 1,000 years of history, 500 years of cultural giants, achievements, arts, letters, sciences.
And they
come into
a country and they demand that you give up your traditions. They demand that you give up your history.
Your houses.
They demand, yes, everything. And they love to rape blonde women.
And there's no accounting for it because in the Muslim religion, it's okay. It's what they do. Look, the only answer to all this is shoot to kill. At the borders, throw them out. It can be done, or you're finished. Or put the leg irons on and learn Sharia law and start getting on your knees five times a day.
Well,
that's what's going to happen.
I think American people are good. You know, all over this country, smaller towns are fighting against mosques being built in their.
Well, you know,
I
told you, and you know what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of these people in small town America are waking up. And all of a sudden, the apartment building next door or down the street is full of 20 or 40 or 60 fighting-age Muslims. Whether they're olive-skinned or black-skinned, it doesn't matter. They're being put into these towns at night under cover of darkness quite often, and they're there. And they are going to destroy these little towns. And then they'll vote Sharia law eventually. I don't know what the hell this. Yeah, of course.
Well, and the fact that we have 95 million Americans who are unemployed, and we're bringing in tens of thousands of these people who have. They don't speak any English.
No, they will. And they're not going to learn English. They don't want to.
No, they do not assimilate. But they get more in federal aid from the American people, what, a country that's $20 trillion in debt.
That's all.
When I will never forget this. When I ran for Congress, this was back in 1994, I went in the bank to make a deposit from donations, and there was a man and woman in front of me. And I don't know where they came from, some Central American country or something, but they had white cards in their hands. And the teller plunked down a lot of money. When I got up to the window, I said, don't tell me. I said, that was a federal ID card. And she looked at me with a look of, this makes me sick. And she very whisperedly said, yes, they come in here on the first of the month, every month, and cash their $2,800 card.
$2,800.
$2,800.
$2,800 each?
No, the two of them. Mm-hmm. $2,800. When I went outside, they were in their car. Mm-hmm. It was, I forget what model it was, but it was new. It didn't mm-hmm. even have plates on it.
Of course.
So while the American people are working and trying to put food on the table, trying to get Johnny braces, trying mm-hmm. to take care of their child that's sick, and here we have these parasites that come in here and suck off of the producing. I've never forgotten that because it made me so angry.
Uh-huh.
And I see it here at my local grocery store. These yeah. young Latino women, honest, they're not over 30. And every one of them's got three or four kids, and every one of them uses a federal white EBT card. So, and you know, loaded up with groceries and stuff.
Yeah, and they get so much a month for each kid.
Yeah, and they're three or four kids, and they're very close in ages. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for them because somehow they've allowed themselves to be convinced that they need to be brood mares to take over this country.
Well, that's how they're really planning to do it. They're planning to breed their way to dominance.
Yes, they are. And that's what the guy from the Brown Beret said, 10 or 15 years ago at that big rally in Los Angeles, that we are going to take over through the act of love by having children.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the top section above on headline news stories, there's a Muslim news section there. Please read that and look at it. And you look at Paris 2016. Gone to hell. Black Africans cover the sidewalks. They defecate in the streets. They urinate wherever they want to. The Parisians don't even clean it up anymore. How can they allow this to happen? And you look at these stories and you just scratch your head. It doesn't make any sense.
It's been going on for a long time because my mom lives up in Lake Oroville. I know you know where that is, in Northern California.
Yeah, I know where
and
said. Yeah.
When I ran for Congress, my mother and I were in one of the grocery stores there, and there was a woman pooping on the floor. She had picked up her tent dress, and she was squatted over and was pooping in the aisleway.
Well, it's going on all over the place.
They went and got the manager.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, and the manager, my mom, we managed to talk to him for a few minutes, and he said that these are the Hmongs, the H-M-O-N-G, the Hmong people.
Oh, Hmong, yeah.
He said there's a whole bunch of them up there off of Forkstown right. Road. They're living outside in tents
uh-huh.
with no electricity, no sanitation. He said, and they come here in the stores and they pee all over everything, and they use the other word for
yeah.
poop. And he said, and they don't find anything wrong with it.
No, this has to be 15, 20 years ago you're talking
yes.
about. Yeah,
well, yeah. Well,
that was when the Southeast Asians were being brought over here, Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say this, the Cambodians and the Vietnamese who came over here, this is a fact, within 1 year, 12 months, over 90% of them were completely self-sufficient. They were no longer on entitlements, handouts, or any government programs. This is a fact. They're industrious people. They're not like Latinos at all. It's a different game. I'm not saying what you're describing isn't horrific, but I'm telling you, in Paris, they're doing this all over the streets, on the sidewalks. There's no stopping them. In Africa, they do not have running water. They don't have toilets in their homes. The homes you see in these films and documentaries, there's no plumbing in there. They go outside.
And that's the fault of their governments.
Well, of course it is. They've looted everything they can from those people.
And they've refused to bring these poor people into the 21st century by getting them educated, by using the United States and other countries as examples of how to build decent housing, how to market whatever products that you have in trade, fair trade, with other countries. I mean, it's not that difficult to do, but these dictators and stuff, they want to keep their population, their people, stupid and treat them like nothing better than animals. And, you know, I think we talked about this once before. We have poured trillions, not billions, but trillions of dollars into Africa. And these folks, they're not getting educated, and they don't want to help themselves too much of the time.
Well,
now, before we run out of time,
Pastor James David Manning said they never even on their own have built a two-story home, a house, a building. They just don't get
it. Well, one of the things that we talked about, I think last time I was on, was the fact that Hillary Clinton is so medicated. And I think we both agree that at the debate the other night, she was so medicated to keep her standing, you know, straight up for 90 minutes. But I got kind of a kick out of this guy. Scott Adams is the creator of the comic series called Dilbert.
I don't know it, but I read the story. Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote on his blog that, quote, Clinton looked to my eyes as if she was drugged, tired, sick, or generally unhealthy, even though she was mentally alert and spoke well.
Mm-hmm.
He said her eyes were telling a different story. Her eyes had the look of someone whose doctors had engineered 90 minutes of alertness just for the debate.
That's exactly what happened.
And Adam said if she continues with her previous light campaign schedule, you should assume my observation is valid and she wasn't at 100%.
Oh, no, you've got it wrong, Davey. She was resting and preparing for the debate. But more than that, she said, I am preparing for the presidency.
Yeah.
That's why she's not on the campaign trail.
Speaking of preparing, what's the stuff that's been floated for the last 5 or 6 hours out there? Oh, Trump's camp says that he is going to practice.
Come on.
And one of the things that Megyn Kelly's first guest tonight was Kellyanne Conway, who's the campaign manager for Trump.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly said, well, is this true? And Conway said, look, he was prepared. The first 30 minutes of that, da-da-da-da, and she went on. But she refused to acknowledge, and I don't think it's true, you know, that his own team is putting out there that he did so terrible that now, teacher, we have to get the ruler, smack your top of your hand, and practice. That is such a crock of crap.
Let's look at it objectively. This is the first presidential debate he'd ever been in, and he did very well on the issues. He pummeled her on the issues.
On trade,
he was,
NAFTA, TPP?
Yes, all
oh,
there.
Oh, boy, did he ever.
She had an earpiece, and they were telling her which hot button to push, how to direct her. She pushed the hot buttons, talked about his father, talked about this and that, kept him on the defensive. He showed to be a human being. All right, that doesn't bother me. You learn on the job. Everybody does as president. It doesn't bother me.
How many presidents learned on the job, you know, when this country was founded?
How about every one of them?
Yeah, well, George Washington became president. There was no president before him, so there's nothing to compare it to. But, yes, he did a good job. But I think he's going to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, the next time around without coming off. And there's ways to do it without coming off as a bully. But she could not justify, NAFTA or anything else. And that smug look on her face, I think, was the drugs. She was in la-la land,
that was,
literally.
Absolutely. She was leering like somebody who felt no pain. You got it.
And if, you know, for somebody who was practically a ghost last 6 days before, I can guarantee you she, with the exception of Saturday when she was caught coming out of that children's place when she didn't think the media was going to be there and she was grabbing onto the rail, you know, in one of her Chairman Mao jackets when it was, you know, 78 degrees outside and she, you know, was holding onto the rail, gauging how, you know, my mother's just turned 89 this month. And my mom goes up and downstairs a lot better than she does. I can tell you that right now.
Hillary is probably terminally ill. It's not a fast terminally ill, but she's dying of something. We don't know what, but we've got pretty good guesses from very very smart doctors. Yeah, it's
neurological.
Sure. It's some kind of vascular dementia and or Parkinson's and or Alzheimer's. And you were right. They had her jacked up on so many drugs. It was amazing.
I read another interview with another physician who has credentials a mile long. But he said that, in his opinion, she was having what they call grand mal seizures.
Yeah.
And he said this is very, very common with people who have neurological problems. And my brother is 100% disabled, and he has neurological problems from an industrial accident. A ladder, a big, huge metal ladder, fell right and hit him right in the back of the neck.
Yeah.
And so he's disabled from it. He doesn't have any use of his left arm and some parts of it. But he doesn't fire, you know, upstairs all the time. And, so, you know, most of the time he's okay. But I can tell when he drifts away sometimes, and it just breaks my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very sad. All right, we're out of time here.
But she doesn't, you know, they don't care. The people who support her, you know, the Lemmings.
That's the frightening part. They'll walk behind her right over the cliff, Lemmings, and they'll never question it.
It doesn't matter what
blind allegiance is not a salutary quality in human
beings.
I don't
care if they're lawyers like Lanny Davis or they're just, you know, these, you know, her supporters. They simply do not care. The only thing they want is to get her in office, and if she drops dead, they've got this lunatic behind her that will implement all of what they want to do.
Oh, listen, the globalists are very happy about Tim Kaine, and I'll tell you who else
they're
happy
about.
I'll tell you who else they're happy about. Mike Pence. I don't like
no
Pence.
Doubt.
I think he was forced in there, or Trump made an egregious mistake when he endorsed Rat Ryan, who wants open borders and a path to citizenship, the antithesis of what Donald Trump made his way to where he is today with. I said on the air here, this man needs to be removed. He should back out.
Trump was talked into taking him on simply because he served in Congress. He knows how to navigate.
Well, it's also Rust Belt state stuff. They want the industrial heartland. I understand it. But there are many other people who could have done a far better job. Pence is, he's a player. He'll do what he's told. He's weak.
Kaine is, that Tim Kaine, though, that guy is just a loon.
He's a jackass.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
boy, that hour went by fast.
Yeah, well, always does. Thank you. You take care,
okay.
And we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Night. Hour number one with DV Kid, and back with more. Hour number two, Professor James Fetzer up next. And Fetz and I will talk about the latest, the earbud and that bulge in the back of Hillary's jacket. What was under that jacket? I'm going to tell you what was under that jacket when we come back.